This is Tyler Lockett, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, and joining me today, our fellow co-founder over at RosterWatch.com, his name is Byron Lambert. We're going to be going over the cheat sheet right now, version 2.2 of the PPR cheat sheet, as we prepare to drop the standard and half-point PPR and the Superflex cheat sheets here as we head into the month of August. Byron, what the hell's going on, brother?
Oh, man, just staying on task, getting fired up for these training camp credentials, and think I have a live show. I don't think. I know I have a live show I'm doing with John Hansen on Thursday morning that I've gotten a call from the bat phone here for that I'll be participating in on Sirius XM. So you guys can tune in 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Sirius XM Radio Fantasy Sports if you want to hear me and Hansen, and otherwise soon we'll have a grip on what the training camp tour is shaking out like. It's tough, Alex, because this is a year where there's so many camps I'd like to go to, because there's so many narratives, you know, really East Coast, West Coast, up and down the gut of the country, and it'll be interesting kind of seeing what credentials come in and trying to prioritize through those and make the best of it. So know more about that soon. And for now, man, I've just been having fun running mocks with the PPR cheat sheet. You guys have done a great job with that. It's super dialed in, and I was pretty excited about some of the recent drafts I had, and thought that would be a good way to have some talking points for this pod today.
As long as we're talking about the radio show, just another reminder on Sirius XM, you can listen back to any you missed in the SXM app. But so this weekend coming up Saturday, I'll be on from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern to have the Roster Watch show. We'll have special guests on Sunday and Monday until Byron gets back on to the every week schedule, starting in August with the training camp tour and everything like that. But then after this weekend, so this weekend, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday and 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. Moving forward from there, it'll be every Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern. And we'll, of course, have announcements for what happens in season after that. But happy to be back on the airwaves there at Sirius XM. Happy to be back on the podcast here with Byron. Let's just get into it, Byron. Oh, shit. Before we talk about that, we got to talk about Cam Akers, the news that just came down. Horrible news about Cam Akers. I mean, I want to make sure that it's not just a – I mean, that isn't just some kind of fake Adam Schefter thing, right? We've been getting on – we've been getting on here as the news broke. I mean, it felt like everybody was reacting to it in such a way to where it couldn't have been a fake, but you never – always want to double check. No, it's true. Tom Pelissero is tweeting about it too. Torn Achilles while training. I wonder if a week before training camp, I hope for his sake that it wasn't something where he was training away from the facility or anything. You know, what are the rules? There's some rules with that, aren't there? Where they can hold money back from you if you get hurt training away from the facility.
Yeah, the teams, I think, have a little bit of an out under certain circumstances.
I'm not sure that they want to use it on a good young player like Cam Akers. But the fact of the matter is, behind him, this the depth chart there for the Rams absolutely sucks. We're going to have to discuss, you know. So pour one out for Cam Akers. Clearly, he's off the cheat sheet now. While we were waiting, to come on, I've already updated the cheat sheet, so any simulations that we run will not have any Cam Akers on them. Clearly, in Dynasty, you know, you just hold. You're going to want to put him on your injured reserve and just hope and pray that the Achilles monster doesn't bite him like it's jumped up to bite so many of these other promising running back prospects early in their career. I mean, we're looking down the barrel of a Daryl Henderson situation here that I really think if we get out over our skis regarding, we could end up getting screwed whenever they bring in a veteran.
Yeah, I mean, should we go ahead and be the first ones right here, right now, to announce the Adrian Peterson signing in Los Angeles. I mean, I don't see how that doesn't happen at this point. It's a barren market. He's the only guy left out there. He's been speaking in recent days about how he's ready to go and wants to get a 15th season in. I mean, hell, he was just with Stafford last year in Detroit. I think it makes perfect sense, and he still looks, pretty serviceable and would be like a good complimentary piece to Henderson. I don't know who the hell else they're going to bring in unless something happens with a Melvin Gordon or one of these other guys that's maybe a miscast character at this point. So I think that's what you're looking at. And to me, that shapes up pretty well for Daryl Henderson. I know he's not – look, he's never been a player we love. We weren't even that high on him in the draft process when he came out. That said, he's a solid player. He's kind of from that Memphis lineage. I think he flashed pretty well in year two when he got the opportunities last year. It's certainly been a little bit of a slow adaptation to the NFL form. I think a lot of times last year people were getting frustrated just when he was just starting to look good. McVay would play the shell game and pull him off at the goal line, or he wouldn't get the volume that it looked like he deserved based on maybe how he was breaking off runs early in games. So I don't hate it as much as you, Alex, but I think it's fair to be circumspect or pretty cautious about what we do here. Just, based on what is Henderson's viability as a workhorse bell cow in the first place, given what we know about him and what we've seen, what is the odds that they bring other veterans in? I think it's pretty high. So you're right. I think we're going to see his ADP skyrocket. It'll be very curious to see how high it can go, probably to a point where we're going to maybe become a little nervous about it. But right now, if you told me I could get Daryl Henderson in the mid rounds of my draft, I'd be pretty stoked about that.
What's the pros list on him? I mean, what's the bull case on Daryl Henderson? The fact that he is 200 pounds, he's 208 pounds. I mean, he ran a 4.49. He comes from Memphis.
He's pretty good on contact. We saw it some last year. The guy was a great receiver coming out of Memphis. I'd have to look at his receiving stats this last year. I know he wasn't utilized that way as a rookie, but he really has very, very good hands and pass receiving ability. And we've seen that that's the type of player McVay likes to get involved. I mean, back when you think about like a Gurley or whatnot, I think he really can claim a pretty good role from the PPR aspect there. He's clearly the best receiving, but bringing Adrian Peterson, fine. He's still the best pass receiving back on that team. I think he's a pretty sturdy, well-rounded running back. He doesn't thrill you in one area. But I think he's all they got, and he knows the system, and he did flash some last year. And look, we always say we weren't real high on him coming out, but there were people we trust in the business that were. And I think they've mostly been proven
to kind of come off
kind of wrong at this at this point. But that was only a few years ago that those were evaluations were made, and with these running backs, they really, really, have to get the opportunities.
I mean, behind him now, we have Xavier Jones, who was a college free agent last year, Raymond Calais, who's been a taxi squad. He's been a practice squad type of journeyman. Who else? I mean, they drafted Jake Funk this year in the seventh round. Maybe he's somebody that we could maybe get a look at. He's over 200 pounds. There's some folks who really like him, and then they had the college free agent this year out of Central Florida, Otis Anderson, but he's a pint-sized little 5'10", low BMI, just in the kind of 170 to 180 range. We don't have the exact weight on him. They need to bring in a runner.
I could see him picking up Ito Smith. I think he's still out there and would actually be a decent fit in the scheme, but not a guy that would be a massive threat to, I think, Henderson, at least early in the season.
It's a blow to that offense, man. To not have Cam Akers. He was looking so good to end last season.
Yeah, it is, but it's probably good timing that they have Matt Stafford, can run a maybe a little more pass heavy offense there. And the other thing you ask about Daryl Henderson, Alex, is that he was always known as a big play guy. And remember when he came out of Memphis, what was he? He was 8.5 yards a touch. I mean, it was something banana. It might have been 8 yards a carry. I mean, it was bananas, and he always ripped off big runs. So I think with Matt Stafford and the way these guys play it that, you know, they'll be leaning on him for some big play capability in the run game too. I just don't see anybody else that can offer that.
I was just looking at his receiving from last year. I mean, he had 1-4 target game. That was one game where he actually got volume, 15 attempts and 4 targets in that one. That was one of his bigger games because he had a receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown. Other than that, you know, he only got more than 14 attempts last year. 1, 2, 3, 4 times in those 4 games. Only one of them did he not produce for you actually pretty well. It was the one at home versus Chicago where he was held scoreless and had his basically out of all those games – had his second lowest average yards per carry at 4.3. At Washington, he had 15 attempts and only had a 2.5 average yards per rush. But he also had the 3 receptions for 30 yards and a touchdown in that game, a rushing touchdown in that game as well, which sort of saved his bacon in a game where he was looking bad but had a good game. The only game last year where there was the good organic production, the good efficiency, and the good touchdown stuff was probably at Buffalo in a 32-35 loss where he had 20 attempts, 3 targets, and 1 reception. He also had 1 touchdown in that game. So I do remember you saying before it started when he got volume last year, he was good. That's kind of true if you look at the 15-plus touch or the 14-plus touch kind of stuff. But in a couple of those games, he was saved by touchdowns.
I do think he has room for more production in the receiving department. He was good as a receiver coming out of Memphis. I think it's just been a slow acclimation for whatever reason. I'll tell you the other thing here, Alex, is that, you know, with McVay, I think it's, I mean, the fact is that he's going to get known volume. He is getting, that's been the main concern with any McVay situation is the known volume of the running backs. I don't see how you can argue against the concept that Daryl Henderson is, he's slated for known volume at this point this year. Known volume in the McVay offense. I kind of like that about a running back.
We'll see. I don't want to get out over my skis. I feel like there's going to be a free agent signing. We'll just see. And I think slating him in right now in around the 7th round, I think that that's fine. I think that that's the point where here's the thing. I'm not going to sacrifice my opportunity in the 6th round to get a Javonte Williams or a Trey Sermon for Daryl Henderson. Can you at least agree with that?
I still see a crowded backfield in San Francisco. And I'm a little bit of an Elijah Mitchell guy late. Now, I know that's maybe a little bit of a dynasty thing more than a redraft thing. But you still got Mostert there.
Have you seen the running back strength of schedule tool or the game script tool or the offensive line tool or just any
of this stuff? That must be shaping up really, really well for Sermon. It still seems a little crummy. I don't know. I mean, don't you think Mostert gets touches out of the gate?
I do, but I mean, you have Matt Barrows at the Athletic saying the sources within the team say that they want to have 500 carries for their running backs next year. So even if I think the Trey Sermon is going to be a significant part of that.
A lot of this will be contingent upon ADP. I mean, that's how these sheets are fluid. And I'll be very, very interested to see what the absolute ceiling is on Henderson's ADP. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's going to change if and when they sign a veteran through here fantasy draft season. But let's pretend that they don't sign a veteran for a couple of weeks or closer to fantasy draft season. I won't be surprised if you see Henderson's ADP start to rise up into round 3, round 4.
No, God. That's not happening. Around 3 ADP for Daryl Henderson?
There's going to be folks out there thinking that he is the uncontested starting running back for the Rams with zero competition, up until the point that they sign anybody else.
You could get Cam Akers easily every time you wanted to at the 1-2 turn, and he's so much better of a prospect than Daryl Henderson. So I don't think Daryl Henderson makes it to the 3rd round. I just don't.
I think 4 is in the picture. If you're saying that Cam Akers was a late round 1 pick.
No, I'm saying you could take him at the 1-2 turn easily. He was a round 2 pick.
A high round 2, a center round 1 pick. A round 1-2 turn pick, basically a late round 1 pick. So, I mean, if people were willing to assign that to him, I think there's going to be a lot of people say, well, next man up. Well, it's not Akers. Well, here's the new starting running back for the Rams. If I was willing to spend a one or two on the last starting running back for him, then why the hell wouldn't I spend a four or five, maybe even a three? You're going to get some aggressive people coming out with. I'll be curious. Be very curious to see how high his ADP tracks. Not to say that, you know, we're on par with that, but I think it's going to be clearly that's like one of the most interesting stories in the NFL to watch at this point, and maybe a reason to get out to Rams camp.
All right. So I just tweeted, everybody running out to pick up Daryl Henderson's about to get broadsided by Adrian Peterson. That's going about it. That's getting the Riscott type responses you'd expect. Our guy Alan Seslowski with a good kind of tweet back. He said, Street free agents likely on speed dial would be Duke Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. I don't know if
which offer roster, not much threat.
Roster bubble players or Royce Freeman and Jordan Howard. Trade candidates could be James Robinson, Sony Michel, or Damian Williams. What about James Robinson getting traded?
I don't see it. He said, why would they? They have that guy for cheap and they need him. That's a young offense that needs to be run centric. He's a good complement to ETN. I don't see why you would. I mean, and who's really going to give up some, unless the Rams want to give up a lot for James Robinson, but I just hard to believe that would actually occur.
I mean, look at this. So, I mean, we're getting live reactions here to this, Byron. You could be right. We got this guy, Tyler Bucher. I guess he's with Fantasy Guru, or I don't even know what it is, Fantasy Guru or Guru Elite or what all that is. But he says Daryl Henderson was a 2019 third down round pick, and he lists out the depth chart that we just talked about here. He said, workshopping where to rank Henderson now, the round 2-3 turn right after CEH feels about right to him.
I'm telling you, dude.
It's fucked up, man. There's going to be some putting them up there.
There's going to be some first adopters that are less risk averse than you are.
Yeah, and, clearly.
They'll probably overpay because that's what first adopters do, but they'll feel like they're on the cutting edge.
Well, they could stay their ass on the cutting edge. There's absolutely no way that means he's taking Daryl Henderson over guys like Chris Carson and stuff.
Well, let's talk about Chris Carson.
He's taking him two rounds. He's taking him two to two and a half rounds ahead of Travis Etienne.
Let's talk about Chris Carson, because Chris Carson is a guy that I see popping up in a lot of my simulations with the PPR draft cheat sheet, and a good player that I'm happy to get. And it seems like I get him kind of in round three or four. You know, that said, I was a little surprised we have him ranked over Mike Davis. Primarily based on the depth charts there. I think you see Seattle, I think, has a little bit more of a robust depth chart than Atlanta, where it's kind of completely barren. And I like getting Carson. I just wonder, do I like him in round three, and do I like getting him all the time in a PPR format?
You only get him all the time if he falls well into round four. You don't get him all the time.
But sometimes you get him in round three.
You will sometimes get him in round three. Yeah. Yeah, but you don't always get him in round three. And I mean, I can understand, you know, but if you just look at, I mean, I know he's just an unset. I know he's an unsexy pick, but whenever he's been healthy, I mean, just, you're not a fan of what he's been able to do.
I am a fan. I just wonder. Mainly for me as a talking point, I was surprised that he. I was looking at like Chris Carson, Miles Gaskin, and Mike Davis, and thinking to myself, man, Mike Davis with no Brian Hill, no Ito Smith.
Mike Davis is
kind of that group
that broke down a bunch last year. The Rams offensive line is not going to be. I don't know if the Rams offensive line has gotten worse and worse. We still don't know if guys like McGarry, whether or not they're going to come on. I was doing that work. It looks like Jake Matthews has started to regress. They lost Alex Mack. I worry a little bit about Mike Davis. I worry about the overall potency of that run game. I guess maybe I shouldn't, right? Arthur Smith is there. We saw how he would lean on a running back with Derrick Henry before. I just know with Chris Carson, all the running backs on that roster suck, and Rashad Penny's coming off of another knee scope surgery. They just paid Chris Carson. Shane Waldron comes in as the offensive coordinator. They're going to be a faster paced offense, more snaps, more plays. Even if they let Russ cook, I'd like the Seattle offense this year. And I think Chris Carson is just going to be an integral piece of it as long as he can stay healthy. So if you think he should be moved down to where we're, I mean, I'll be happy to move him down because we do get a, it's just, it feels like, man, if you can get Chris Carson at the 3-4 turn, when you're picking at the 1-2 turn, I just really like the availability to get at least one elite wide receiver there at the 1-2 turn, you know, and it's instead of, you know, going two running backs there and, you know, wherever you get to the Chris Carson area, you know, having to take like at best a Terry McLaurin, but maybe an Allen Robinson or a Mike, one of the Tampa Bay guys, or, you know, maybe one of the Cowboys guys falls to you there. I kind of like getting a Tyreek Hill and a, you know, Eckler or something like that. And then pairing that up with a Chris Carson and a CeeDee Lamb or like an Amari or something like
that. Yeah, I guess I kind of discovered, surprisingly for myself, I'm maybe a little bit more interested in Mike Davis than I would have ever expected based on the depth chart in Atlanta, which is just, I mean, it's abysmal behind him. It's Quadri Allison, Javion Hawkins, Cordarrelle Patterson, Tony James Brooks, and Caleb Huntley. I mean, none of these. And the way that they pursued Mike Davis in the offseason, I mean, I just think he's their guy. So maybe it's just a better talking point, not so much of a knock on Chris Carson, as I discovered I'm a little more interested in Mike Davis than what I would have ever thought. I think, and I was looking at that same group, I was, also was examining Myles Gaskin, the depth chart there in Miami, and kind of remembering that they did bring in Malcolm Brown. They've got Salvon Ahmad still in there, a couple guys like Laird and Scarlett further down the depth chart that aren't absolutely, you know, just, you know, totally pitiful, you know, RB, you know, depth guys on their depth chart there. And so I guess I just started looking at that group. I started saying, you know what, of those kind of guys in that area, I have some questions about. Mike Davis had a little bit better depth chart, and maybe, seems like the Falcons are very kind of dedicated to Mike Davis this year. So I guess those are kind of some thoughts I had there. And then, you know, the other thing was, you know, David Montgomery sure does seem like he's still a pretty good value at this point. When I look at the situation here on the sheet and the ADPs and what you're hearing come out of Chicago, and I've always been kind of a Montgomery guy anyways.
The 2021 Roster Watch cheat sheet is available now at rosterwatch.com. The revolutionary cheat sheet to change fantasy football forever is back, only at rosterwatch.com. Winning fantasy players don't use outdated magazines or expensive draft software that's impossible to navigate. The Roster Watch cheat sheet. All you have to do is follow three simple rules. That's it. Three rules. Guys, it couldn't be easier. The Roster Watch cheat sheet. An expert quality draft is guaranteed as long as you follow the rules, the three simple rules that a toddler could follow. The sheet is magical, it's mystical, it is mythical. It is the Roster Watch cheat sheet. Only at rosterwatch.com. With David Montgomery's ADPs moving up as it is. So, I mean, if he needs to get moved up, if you like him more than Miles Sanders, I don't know. Do you like him more than Miles Sanders now that we're hearing all the news about it looks like Tariq Cohen's knee. When did he tear his ACL last year? Was that like week 4 or something? It's pretty early. It's looking like he's not coming back too well from that. You know, I don't know what Dr. Chow says or anything like that, but the reports from the mini camps are that he's still kind of, you know, he's moving kind of gingerly and stuff. It's kind of up in the air about how ready he's going to be to go. I mean, we're coming right into it, you know, very well, you know, we're about to be in training camp.
So. Yeah. I might like Montgomery better than I may like him better than Sanders. I mean, I could argue for him over Sanders, Dobbins, Swift, and Carson, I think. Now, what is it? Do I definitively like him over the – I mean, I think I like him more than Carson. I think I like him more than Dobbins just because I want Edwards later. I think I trust him more than Sanders. They've still got some of the same old characters on that running back depth chart in Philadelphia. I mean, just everything we're hearing about Montgomery coming out is that he's the guy. I think he's just kind of – taking that step forward. And then, you know, for me, I think I get a little more excited for some reason about David Montgomery than Chris Carson. I get the argument that, you know, you'd like to be tied to that to that Seahawks offense. So I, you know, I don't think I would go to war over that one. And then, you know, Swift I like, but I think I like Swift more than a lot of people this year, but, you know, I get the argument for, I get the argument that some people think that, I mean, you're hearing things kind of come out that Swift may not get the total workload that was insinuated earlier in the offseason. So I guess that's kind of, it's an interesting group because I think it's definitely a drop off from David Montgomery to Josh Jacobs and ETN and some of these other guys below him, Alex.
So, okay. How do you rank DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, Chris Carson?
I think it's that's a great question. I want to say Montgomery. I guess I want to say Montgomery, Carson, Swift. It's tough. Here's the thing. I really want to like Swift, but I get the hesitation with the Lions offense, right? So it's like I kind of want to like Swift more than Carson, but at the same time, it's like, do I want to just get in with the Seahawks offense and a proven commodity or take this leap of faith on Swift and a Lions offense that I'm not totally fond of?
All right, so this is going to change up the sheet a little bit. I'm going to have to change some stuff if we're going to see him doing this. But do you – if you're picking at – let's say you're picking – around the Jesus. Well, this will be close to the three kind of the, so now we're talking David Montgomery as a late third. Let's say you're picking there and let's say you split your first two picks early on because if you're picking late third, early fourth, it means you pick late first, early second. So let's say you picked like the situation we said earlier, let's say you took like Eckler and Davante Adams or something like that. Who do you pick if he comes up and your top two players are David Montgomery and AJ Brown?
I think it's a great decision point. I would just pick based on need. You said my first two picks would have been who at that point, Alex?
Eckler and Davante Adams.
So you get a two-way go. I think it's the impossible decision, which means that it's dialed right in when you've got.
What about Terry McLaurin?
I think with Julio there, you got to like McLaurin a little bit. If you know, you got to figure out how much you like Fitzpatrick and on the season. But if you're good with that, I think you like McLaurin more than AJ Brown.
Chris Carson or Allen Robinson.
I would take Chris Carson, but that's probably a fair decision.
DeAndre Swift or Amari Cooper? Does that feel about right?
Yeah, that feels pretty good, man.
All right. So then why don't you tell me your next thing? And while you're talking, I'm going to update this list and see if I can get it updated in time to where we can just where we can sort of check this live, because you know how this shit goes, Byron. Sometimes if you try to,
yeah, it
goes. You can't just. I mean,
you got to test these things because the ADPs they matter with the way that this is designed.
Some people just don't understand is that this is not a ranking sheet. This is a swindly plan versus ADP. So let's see. What is the next thing you're going to ask? And I'll start.
Well, I like Stephon Diggs more than Tyreek Hill.
The ADPs aren't going to allow that to happen. Speaking of that.
Okay. Well, for those who are listening, I like him more just based on the volume that he gets in that Bills. The volume of targets is far superior to Tyreek Hill. And we've also got interest in Mecole Hardman later, who we're getting quite a bit of on our simulations and we like. So that was just a thought there. This with the Akers news has probably sorted itself out some. In PPR, I like Eckler more than – I liked him more than Akers and Chubb.
I've moved – in version 2.2, I've already moved Eckler up ahead of – I've moved Eckler directly behind Jonathan Taylor.
I think that's good positioning for him. These aren't really changes I would make, but I just observations I had when drafting is it appears – not that we're getting a whole lot of them, but just overall value, DK Metcalf and Keenan Allen look like pretty good values right now in drafts.
Yeah.
just based
you
on
you weren't getting a lot of DK Metcalf, or you weren't getting a lot of Keenan Allen.
No, but I observed that he's in a good spot and looks like a player that's a good value. So I'm assuming that if we run enough of these, that we're probably getting a decent amount of them. But I think Metcalf and Keenan Allen are two dudes that at the wide receiver position, I look at this and I just say, man, those are great, great picks. If you get into that, what is that? Probably a round 2-3 type turn there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to pick one of those guys off.
Oh yeah. You get Keenan. Yeah. We're consistently getting Keenan Allen in the third round of these deals. And it's just awesome.
How are you on Metcalf?
We're not getting as much Metcalf. I mean, if you want to start getting more Metcalf, we could flip those two, DK Metcalf and Keenan Allen. I mean, that would go with ADP.
Would we get them both? If we could get a little bit of both that way, that'd probably be the preferred method. You don't want to sleep on DK Metcalf going into year three. There's not many freaks like that on the football field in the NFL. I mean, that guy could bust. He could bust out for an all-time season at any point.
It goes.
You know what I mean?
It goes just fine with ADP. So I will flip flop those two guys. I'll get DK Metcalf above Keenan Allen, and if I get Metcalf above Keenan Allen, so it goes. Yeah, Clyde, DK Metcalf. So it would be a Clyde Edwards-Helaire DK Metcalf choice. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Okay.
Speaking of Seahawks receivers, I was a little bit surprised. Look, and this is a young guy that we really like. So, look, one thing I noticed from running these mocks is we're getting a ton of Golden Suns, ton of the young guys that we absolutely love, that we know are studs with bright futures in good situations, players that we know more about than anybody else, any of our counterparts in the industry. But I was a little surprised, Alex, to see Brandon Ayuk over Tyler Lockett, just given a few things, given the quarterback uncertainty in San Francisco. And also I think there was a recent prop that came out on Debo Samuel that was pretty good in comparison to Brandon Ayuk. And we're also getting a lot of the young receivers that we like later. So I just had a couple of mocks that I thought were really good, but I said to myself,
I have no problem moving Tyler Lockett above Brandon Ayuk.
I might have liked this a little better if I had Lockett over Ayuk in these mocks.
Yep. I have no problem with that. So now I got to change the list again. So that was Lockett up and Ayuk down. So we just flip these two guys. Let me just get them done here. So that'll be a Mike Davis, Tyler Lockett decision there. At that point, and I'll re-upload this. All right. Fair enough. I don't mind that at all.
What about a Kyler Murray exit point at fifth round at the Kareem Hunt decision?
Oh,
a Kyler Murray option Kareem Hunt decision point.
There should certainly be one there. So you want the Josh Allen stuff before. Okay. That's fine.
I didn't want to be forced to take Kareem Hunt over Kyler Murray, and I was coming away pretty well.
You shouldn't be. The only reason I had that there was because of the Kyle Pitts decision, and that's fine with Kyler Murray. So that means I got to do this again. So I go with Josh Allen. That means I got to move Josh Allen up one spot, which is fine. I love getting Josh Allen in these places anyway. Josh Allen goes up here where – you'd have a decision with him or DJ Moore. And that just seems like it even shouldn't be a decision anyway. And then Kyler Murray, Kareem Hunt. And we'll get that done like that. Yeah, because, man, I've been getting into that fifth round, Byron, and I've been like you. I don't want to – if one of those guys is available, even Dak, you know, I kind of want to get one of those guys. So
that's a great talking point. I noticed you have Dak over Lamar Jackson. I'm assuming, is that just based on how the statistics were unfolding last year before the Dak Prescott injury?
Yeah. I mean, and just based on the, whenever we ran the projected play volume and the game script stuff, it's just sort of how it came up. I know some people are really, really high on Lamar and I get it, but do you like Lamar better than Dak? I mean, we have Lamar as our quarterback 5, Dak is quarterback 4.
I think it's close enough that I don't know if I would invert ADPs on those guys. I get the logic. I feel like Lamar's pretty safe pick coming healthy with more receiving weapons and all of that stuff. I get the argument both ways. I would probably play ADP. I guess what I'm saying, I wouldn't want to be totally out of the game on Lamar. I don't know, but the sheet may not be designed where we're getting either of those guys at that point. I mean, I was getting a lot of Tannehill and Jalen Hurts and a bunch of guys I like late. So I was really happy with the quarterbacks that the sheet was delivering to me, you know, later. So it may not be that we're getting that those guys anyways, around that Dak Lamar area, but based on ADP, I don't know what that is. I just wasn't sure if we wanted to be all the way.
How about
out of the
this?
Game
on a how Lamar about, Jackson. Well, how about this? If you start getting down to like the Will Fuller in Miami and the DJ Chark in Jacksonville, would you want to be able to have a Lamar Jackson choice there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. Okay.
I sure
would you want a Lamar Jackson choice even with Trey Sermon and Jerry Jeudy?
I love getting Jerry Jeudy in every draft possible. So I think it's a fair decision point. That's a fair decision point. I'd probably still take Jeudy there, but it's a reasonable decision point.
What about all right,
Jackson?
What about a Tyler Boyd, Will Fuller, DJ Chark, one of those?
Yeah, I would like a Lamar Jackson out there.
Okay. I'm gonna move Lamar Jackson up, and I'm not gonna update this thing until we've talked it over again. Like I'm tired of uploading this. So Lamar Jackson, we'll move him up here on the semi. Yeah, I mean I like that too. We were talking on the Sirius show about how round 5 and 6. If these guys are still hanging around, you kind of want to get some of these guys that can really help you out with their legs.
I just think Mahomes, Kyler, Lamar, all three of those guys are big time in play for NFL MVP this year. Speaking of Lamar, Alex, I mean, is Hollywood Brown too high on the sheet? Do we even want him this year?
I don't want him, but I mean, he's below ADP on the sheet. Were you getting him? Did you get him?
He was coming. I don't think I actually got him, but it was a few times it was getting close to getting him. And I was like, oh, this seems like decent value. And then I was like, wait a second. They drafted Bateman. They got Watkins. That wide receiver thing is a mess over there, man. So I really have zero interest in rostering Hollywood Brown at this point.
Should I get Devontae Smith up over him? Do you want Curtis Samuel up over him?
Maybe Devontae Smith. I saw him going pretty high. I don't think I'm in on really any of those guys at that point.
I don't think the fact is we're not going to get any of those guys anyway. But I will move Devontae Smith up. I don't think you're going to get much Hollywood Brown on this. But I'll get Devontae. I'll flip flop him and Devontae Smith. And I think that should be okay.
I love that you mentioned Jerry Jeudy. That's a player I want in every single draft. We're getting him in every mock I'm running, so clearly he's situated correctly on the sheet. I have no qualms there. I just think from an observational perspective, you know, I want to make it clear I like Jerry Jeudy more than Cortland Sutton this year, especially in PPR. I just think he is the Amari Cooper. He's the Odell Beckham of that wide receiver core. He's the guy that's going to uncover and be open at will, especially as Sutton kind of comes off the injury there. And then I think big picture, a lot of it has to do with if the quarterback situation ever pans out in Denver. But I think from a dynasty perspective, if Sutton returns to health and if that quarterback situation is ever able to get on track, I do think that you're starting to look at maybe like a Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf-ish type long term dynasty situation with Sutton and Jeudy. But this year I think my money is on Jeudy, and I'm very, very pleased to see how much exposure we're getting on that front. Alex, I think it's like super strategic and going to pay off big for us this season. Interesting. You can get him what, 3 rounds after you get CeeDee Lamb, and those two guys were the absolute cream of the crop in their draft classes. You mentioned Will Fuller. I like that we're getting some exposure there, especially still with some outside chance that Deshaun Watson could end up in Miami. That would be a boon. So I like we're getting fuller there. But the other guy I like maybe even more that we're getting there around later is I love that we're getting Antonio Brown in that same round or same range, maybe even a round later than Will Fuller. I think it's a really, really sharp pick. And let's see. The only other things I have for you here is, should we be interested in any James Conner late? I noticed we're getting – no.
I just don't want him. I want Chase Edmonds. I like Chase Edmonds.
So maybe that's a standard cheat sheet thing, a little bit of Conner late. I'm a little bit interested in that.
Why, man? Why do you want to kill yourself like that, man? Come on. Let's not give it to Conner.
Edmonds round six I think is a fair price, but it's not cheap. So it just makes me wonder, Conner – who really has three down capability and some workhorse capability, and there's nobody else there. And I think it's just the fact that I love the Cardinals. I love their offense this year. I kind of want a piece of it. And Conner is a player to watch late in our drafts. And that brings me to my last observation, Alex, about a player maybe to watch late in our drafts. You tell me what the preseason tools at rosterwatch.com say about Baker Mayfield this year.
Baker Mayfield, let's see. Let me just look here. Let me look at the, because I haven't pulled together the overall stuff for the quarterbacks yet. But I have all the nickel, the safety, the coverage linebacker, and the cornerback stuff available by team. I mean, the thing about Baker is he has a good start to the season. He'll be at home versus Houston, at home versus Chicago. Then he goes at Minnesota. Chargers will be tough. His first game at KC will be tough. Week six at Arizona should be a top eight matchup. So in his first 6 weeks, he's got four top 12 matchups. But after that, the schedule gets really tough as the AFC North sort of schedule comes into focus. He also has New England and some other tough ones. Boy, right, sandwiched around the bye week, he has two games versus Baltimore. So I might like him after. I might like him, you know, for kind of a fast start type of guy. But once I get the quarterback fast start tool up, that'll be a little bit easier to identify there, because I'm just having to loop between the corners, the nickels, the safeties, and the coverage linebackers.
I was just noticing
once I pull it all together, I'll be able to give you a little bit better answer. But it looks like he'll have four top 12-ish matchups in his first 6 weeks of the season.
And he seems to be available basically for the free at the end of all the drafts. And I kind of like the fast start idea, because that's before the weather turns in that division and in that
region. It gets too windy.
Before the style of gameplay turns late in the season. And you know, I thought Baker really, you know, he had the good rookie year. It was a tough sophomore year. I think last year we saw him bounce back, and I expect that he's going to have healthier, fuller set of weapons this year. And I said, you know what, Baker Mayfield at the end of drafts might be a guy we need to keep an eye on.
All right. Well, you want to run a simulation using the cheat sheet with all these changes that you've gone ahead and implored me to make, and we'll see if it's still running okay.
Only if you promise we can get Trey Lance in the last round of the draft.
I can pretty much promise that, because that almost always happens, right? Let's see. So I will pull up a screen share here. Go to the Brave tab for the mock draft sim. All right, so we're going to be drafting here against, in a PPR snake draft format, against the expert consensus at Fantasy Pros, the composite ADPs. They've now pulled in the NFL.com composite ADPs and the pre-draft rankings from Yahoo, ESPN, NFL.com, the ADPs from ESPN, Fantrax, NFL.com, RT Sports, Fantasy Football Calculator, also the best ball ADPs. I've made five different changes on the PPR cheat sheet version 2.2 here to test based on Byron's suggestions. We'll draft one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, and two flex. The randomized draft position was second overall. Do you want me to switch that up, or what do you think? Should I randomize it?
That sounds fine with me, man. Go with it.
All right. So we will use PPR. Okay. Let's see what happens with this Dalvin Cook draft.
Wow, that's an exciting way to start.
Yep. All right. So start out with Dalvin, and we'll see what happens with this 2-3 turn with how things have been kind of switched up here. So this sucks, though. Dalvin and Justin Jefferson. I want two Vikings. I guess you just go.
Well, you would have been able to, you know, everybody knows that if players are touching on the sheet, that they have a little latitude to go to the next guy.
Do you want me to just go with Clyde and then maybe get Clyde and Keenan Allen here instead of going with two Vikings since Clyde and Justin?
Or who's the wide receiver right behind Jefferson on the sheet? That's how I would.
There's a break between him. Okay. It would need to be him or Clyde. We can just go with Jefferson. Let's just go with what the sheet says. It's fine, right?
Go, yeah, it's fine.
Use the cheat sheet. And then we'll get Keenan Allen. So hopefully the sheet is letting us know that it's going to get runners a little bit later on. And it does. I mean, what do you think about this, Byron? That we're at the end of at the 4-5 turn, we're going to get Josh Jacobs. Is that good enough value on that guy for you?
It's the right spot for sure. It could turn out to be outstanding value.
And then we're going to get Travis Etienne as well. So now this team's actually looking pretty well-rounded and pretty sick. Dalvin Cook, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, the wide receivers are Justin Jefferson and Keenan Allen. I mean, things are going pretty ham right now as far as that's concerned. Do you want to go with do you want to just make sure you get your sweet angel, Jerry Jeudy, here?
Have to. Okay.
We'll get Jerry Jeudy and hope that Trey Sermon falls. I think Trey Sermon will fall. Yeah, he'll fall. So we're going to get this is turning out actually pretty sick. So far, Dalvin Cook, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Jerry Jeudy, Trey Sermon. Now, look, Will Fuller, he's fallen just so far now. We're getting him at the 8-9 turn. We're not going to be able to get Daryl Henderson very much longer at this 8-9 turn, are we, Byron? No. We're going to get him right now, but I don't think it's going to. So we'll go ahead and take Daryl Henderson here.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Look at this. Tom Brady, huh? That's not too often where we get a shot at old Tom Brady. Do you like getting him here at the end of the 10th?
If that's what the cheat sheet's recommending, I'm in, man. This Tom terrific. He's got a returning team. I mean, year two, I love it. No MCL injuries.
We do like Mecole Hardman. We get him pretty often in these drafts.
And we get a lot of Paris Campbell, too, which I like a lot. A lot of Paris Campbell, a lot of Nelson Agholor, a bunch of these dudes I like late at the wide receiver
position. Yeah, man. But the good news is we filled in running back so well with these other guys. So probably what's going to happen here is we're going to get a Nelson Agholor. If Tyler Higbee falls off, that'll be fine. We'll just go ahead and get Adam Trautman, who's right here touching on the sheet.
What happened to my sweet angel, Gus Edwards? Has he somehow been
– He got swindled just now by your other sweetest angel, Daryl Henderson.
All right, that'll correct itself.
So that team turned out pretty sick, man. Tom Brady at quarterback, the running – and this was – we followed the cheat sheet just absolutely to the T. The cheat sheet that we hear during the show made some changes to. We'll continue to test it, but it seems like it's humming pretty well. Tom Brady, a quarterback. The running backs are Dalvin Cook, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Trey Sermon, Daryl Henderson. The wide receivers are Keenan Allen. Justin Jefferson, Keenan Allen, Jerry Jeudy, Will Fuller, Mecole Hardman, Paris Campbell and Nelson Agholor. The tight end is Adam Trautman. So, I mean, to me, I would be happy going to war with that team any single day of the week. Fantasy Pros gives you a B+ on that. That's almost too high for me to be happy with it. I'm never happy with one of these drafts unless Fantasy Pros gives me a C or a C-. Byron, any final thoughts from you?
You're killing it, Alex. You're killing it. Alan Seslowski's killing it, and we're fired up for a huge, huge year at Roster Watch.
Is it going to be a huge, huge who's going to have the huger year? Daryl Henderson or Damian Harris?
Daryl Henderson all the way, baby.